I can just imagine that if there's some really sharp teacher this week, some of these students might just happen to go to a class the very first day and have a real savvy teacher who knows where he or she is going with the class say, take out a piece of paper. We're going to have a pop quiz. What? A pop quiz already? Now, take out your notes, would you please? This is a pop quiz. No, actually, the title of the message is Pop Quiz. So I was reading this book, a couple of books that I read this summer, and not quite finished with one of them. One is by Dallas Willard, called Life Without Lack. And you know the words of the psalmist saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, I shall not be in lack," some translations. The other book is John Ortberg's book, Eternity is Now in Session. Highly recommend these two books. A Life Without Lack by Dallas Willard and Eternity is Now in Session by John Ortberg. In his book, Eternity is Now in Session, John Ortberg says, I'm going to quote a little account. This is under a section called Pop Quiz. He said, "This is my favorite pop quiz story." And it was from an ornithology class. What's ornithology? Study of birds. Okay, good. Man, what a sharp group. You can write that down, ornithology, on your notes. Go ahead. Ornithology. And here was the pop quiz. They were to identify 25 species of birds, but all they had to go on was pictures of their feet. So here's the pictures of the feet right there in front of them on the paper. And this, finally, as the test goes on, one of the guys just goes, I can't do this. And he gets up and starts to walk out. And the teacher says, "All right, you failed." Takes out his grade book. He opens it up and says, "What's your name?" To which the guy replies, "Isn't that good?" You know, some of you probably won't hear anything else after that. That was worth the price of admission. But this was all to highlight a couple of pop quiz questions before the disciples. The first one, and this is in Matthew chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. Let me just tell you. You know, most of you probably know this account. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says to his disciples, to his followers, who had been following him now for 2.5 years or so, he said, "So who do people say that I am?" And the disciples respond, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist returned from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. Some say some other prophet." Pop question number one. Pop question number two. "But who do you say I am?" And Peter gives this wonderful, wonderful response. "You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus said, "You didn't get this from asking the crowd. You didn't get this from a conversation among yourselves for this little pop quiz. You got this from my Father." Boy, Peter must have been he got an A on that test. He got an A and a star, and it was wonderful. Just wonderful. So Jesus goes on teaching, and he tells them, "We're going to Jerusalem, and it's there in Jerusalem that I'm going to be mocked, and I'm going to be mistreated, And I'm going to be challenged by the leaders, the spiritual leaders there in Jerusalem. And I'm going to be beaten. And I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to be raised on the third day. To which Peter, with just all the enthusiasm of somebody that just got an A on the pop quiz, he said, "No way, Lord. We're not going to let this happen to you." To which Jesus said, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. You didn't get this from heaven. You got this from your father, the devil." Wow. Lift it up, slam down. All because he was, one, listening to the right source, and second, not listening. You know, we're all in a position like that, aren't we? From time to time, we're doing well. We're listening to God well, very, very well. And then, for whatever reason, it's circumstances of life or the enemy of our soul, he starts whispering a bunch of junk into our minds and hearts. These minds and hearts that had been listening so well to God. God wants us to know him. God wants us to make him known to the world around us. Jaime and Debbie prayed that way for us today, that we would know him and make him known. Turn with me, if you haven't already, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16. I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1165. Page 1165. Actually, I'm going to start reading at verse 9 and read right through verse 17. Follow along as I read from the New International Version. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you and your faith, we've not stopped praying for you, that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He is this Son that the Father loves. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the hands-on image of the invisible God, the firstborn, number one over all creation, number one in authority and power. For by him," verse 16, "by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, all created by him, visible and invisible, created by him. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together."
So who is Jesus? Who is he? We've been singing about him today. We've been singing a lot of different songs. Dan asks me at the beginning of the week, during the week, he'll say, what are you preaching on? And I know that the songs that he chose today were because of this text. For by him all things were made, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are sustained. All things hold together. Who do you say he is when you pray? Who do you say he is when you feel boxed in? Who do you say he is when you are struggling maybe with pain in body or in soul or in spirit? Who do you say he is? Who are you talking to? Who are you singing to or about? Who is this Jesus? Who is he? This Jesus whom you're speaking to, when it feels like you're in an impossible situation, who is he? Is he the one who created all things? Is he the one that you're speaking to, the one who created the visible and the invisible? Is he the one who created the thrones and powers and authorities? Stop and think about it. Stop and think about what you've read or what you've sung about or some of the prayers that you've formed in the quietness of your mind or with your lips these past few days. This is for all of us, you know. Marilyn and I lost a friend this week back in Minnesota. He wasn't at this gathering of some of our friends, and actually his life was slipping away as we met with this group of people. And he'd been part of our group. And where was he? And who was this person that we were praying to? And in whose name we were praying? Was he the one who created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or powers or authorities? Think about the size of the universe. Think about the size of our galaxy, ours, like we own it. Our galaxy that we're such a itty bitty dot part of. Think about this immensity. Is that who you've been praying to? When we're in a jam, is that the one we're really praying to? Or is it just like, oh yeah, I know he does that. I know he does that, but I just want him to listen right now. Whoever he is and however big he is. This is Jesus, who John says created, also he says created everything. Everything. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. You think he's got ears to hear? You think he can hear puny little old me in the midst of this vast galaxy and all the noise of this galaxy? And there are, scientists tell us, billions of galaxies. Wow. He is in charge of all that? And he humbled himself and took on flesh, poured himself out of heaven so that we could know him face to face. And like John would say in his little letter, and we could know him by touch and by the words we heard from his mouth. All this translated into the kinds of words and experience that we could understand and pass it on to other people so that they would understand that this God is the one who listens. You think your problems are too big for him to handle? Are you kidding? He created all things. Ex nihilo, the Hebrew word is, out of nothing. I was reading this morning, just turn with me please in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. In my quiet time this morning, Proverbs 16, verse 33. It says this, looking at it, Proverbs 16, verse 33. Page 641 in the Bible in front of you. The lot is cast, the dice is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. That, let me just read this according to this text in Colossians. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the I Am, who is Yahweh, with, as we sang this morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's, Yahweh's purpose that prevails. We make many plans, and our government comes up with many strategies, and nations all around the world make their plans for 5 years, 10 years out, 200 years, I hear, that one of the rising powers is planning not for 10 years out, but 200 years out. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's, it is Yahweh, it is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's purpose that will prevail. Do you believe that? You make your plans to buy a car, to buy a house, to buy a refrigerator. You make your plans, but it's the Lord's will, Yahweh's, Father, Son, who made it all. His will prevails. Amen? Psalm chapter 90. Turn to Psalm chapter 90. Reading this morning. Oof. You know these words, maybe many of you know these words. Lord, Yahweh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's fair game to understand when you see the word Yahweh, that you read these words, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yahweh, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, for you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Yahweh, Jesus, this is who I'm speaking to. The enemy of our soul, this comes out in Dallas Willard's book, the fourth chapter, A Life Without Lack. The enemy of our soul.
I mean, we've got our own sinful nature, right? We easily revert to our own emotions, our own plans, and we know what we want. But the enemy of our soul comes along to just stack the deck against us as well. He is Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air. That's what God's word calls him. And he's happy, very happy to confuse us, to set our minds in a rambling race. And he wants to convince us that all, in the midst of all of this crazy chaos, that this is impossible. God? God who? Trouble in our nation? Thoughts and prayers are with you. And the mocking sounds of Satan translated through the lips and the anger of people with political ambitions. Thoughts and prayers. What are they? It is he, the enemy of our soul, that assaults our minds and confuses us and stirs doubt. But God calls them out. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Yahweh, from the love of Yesu, Jesus, who created everything by the word of his power. Is he ever out of control? No. Sometimes it just stinks, doesn't it? That we just feel so boxed in by whatever the circumstances are of life are like, and amidst all of the thoughts and semi-conclusions that everybody seems to be coming to, and the impossibility of all of this, that we tend to wonder whether he really does have control, or is this all some sort of myth that he has control? Jesus called them out, those who doubted that he was in control. And he proved, when they doubted his plan, when they absolutely said, "No way, Lord, we're your followers and we're not going to let it happen to you. Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking, Peter, like the guy in the pit of hell. That's who you're thinking like. Who am I, Peter? Who do you say I am? When you pray, who do you say I am? When you put your name in there, when you pray." Because you see, the pop quiz keeps coming, especially when we feel put upon and that life is impossible. All the violence that's been going on around us, and it's been once again, and it will be once again. We're going to get on top of this. We're going to pass legislation. We're going to make everything different. We're going to make everything better. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And we would do it sooner if it wasn't for the other guys. Right? Sure. We would do it. Why didn't you do it before when your group was in power? Come on. You're going to do it? I was thinking about, you study American history. And there was this great big thing called the Revolutionary War. As the founding fathers
chose to put their own necks on the line, knowing that if this thing went bad, they'd all swing at the end of a rope. And they called out the King of England. They called out the mightiest military in the world at that time. They called him out. But before they did, our founding fathers, say whatever you would about, were they maybe all over the map in terms of their own religious heritage? They were kind of all over the map. But you know what they did? They did something, if you did this today, I wonder how long this would last in the American media and on the floor of the Senate or the House. I wonder how long it would last if our leaders now called for a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. But that's what they did. And just that notion rocks me to my core. It behooves me. If nobody else calls for it, to commit myself to a day of, in the midst of all the craziness, speak, first humble myself before the one who created it all, and it's all for, by him and for him, commit myself to a day of humiliation before him and fasting before him and prayer. To what end? All things were created by him, for his purpose. I remember the words have never stood out for me more than when I asked my dad, when my mom was in ICU, her brain was being tapped because of a bleed on her brain. I said, "Dad, this must be really tough for you." And he said, "I was just reading John in my Bible." My dad didn't talk much about he didn't want to wear his religion on his shirt sleeve, and he was a pretty new believer still. And Dad, I said, "Dad, it's got to be tough on you." And he said, "I was just reading in my Bible today from John chapter 9. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" My dad was saying about his wife in there in ICU. Jesus said it was so that God would be known for who he is. Pretty cool. You see, it's all created by him and for him, and for his purposes. And sometimes those purposes just seem to elude us. How can it be that this family or this would go through all of this? It's by him and for him. And the clock is going to keep ticking, and things will happen that aren't according to my plans, but they are according to the big picture that he's after. When he might say, "So what is life?" The clock is going to keep ticking. What is life? And for whom is all of this? As to the here and now, right in this moment, he's always at work. Do you believe it? It's not about what we add to the equation. It's not. It's not about what the powers and principalities and authorities, those invisible powers that Paul says we wrestle against. It's not about their agenda. Because quite frankly, he overrides all agendas for the big picture that he's after. What difference will it make? What difference will it make that he's the one who created all things, and it's all for his purpose? If we understand this, if we grasp this when we pray, when we sing, when we're confronted with a headline, when we're confronted with one of the latest clips from in the 24-hour news cycle, when we're wrestling with the way we're treated by our friends, or when the way we're treated by maybe something that's amiss in our family and we're mistreated by our family or our coworkers, when we're suffering pain, what difference will it make that he is the one who created all things and he overrides all powers and principalities? What difference is it when we realize who we're speaking to? Psalm 91, just listen to this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that's Jesus. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, Jesus, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That is Jesus. When was the last, I want you to stop and think about this right now. And there's some really, really great questions on the back of your notes. I wrote them. I wasn't going to put questions in this week, and I sent my notes to Marilyn, and she said, maybe you should put some questions in. So these are really good questions. It'll help you take it beyond this. I really encourage you to do that. But let me just say this. It's this question. When was the last time that you responded to the pop quiz, who do you say I am? Was it when you prayed this morning? Was it when you were confronted by something that was just challenging the socks off of you? And when was the last pop quiz that he put before you? So who are you talking to, John? Who do you think's listening? Who do you think has the big picture in mind? And I don't know what's in the big picture. I don't have a clue what's in the big picture tomorrow. I know what kind of plans I've made for tomorrow. I'm going to get together tomorrow morning at 8:30 with Daniel. I'm just going to have a little staff meeting. We haven't had one for about 4 weeks, and good. Maybe we'll be together. Maybe we won't. In the midst of the impossible jam, who do you say I am? In the midst of the moment when you say, I don't know how to pray, he's going to say, who do you say I am? I was reminded this week, in the midst of all of this political noise, after the tragedy of these murders last weekend, I was in church with our friends last Sunday morning. And the pastor stood up and said, there's been a shooting Friday night. And somebody said, there was one this morning. Oh, in the midst of all of the crazy blame that really overwhelms the media and people who want to hold on to power, in the midst of all of that, somebody called my attention once again to a piece of our history. And this was in the immediate aftermath of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. It was April 4th, 1968. And Robert Kennedy Jr., who would himself be assassinated less than 2 months later, he stood up before a predominantly African-American audience to tell them, to give them the news. And you can hear the agony in the voices of the crowd when he says, I'm sorry to tell you, that the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was killed tonight. And he said, you need to be careful that you not respond with anger and hatred. And you not respond with anger and hatred to all white people. He said, I know what it's like. I too had a loved one who was killed by a white man. And I'm reminded of some of the favorite words that I've ever heard from the fourth century, I'm putting this in, from the fourth century BC dramatist, Aeschylus, who wrote these powerful words. He who learns must suffer. And even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart. And in our own despair and against our will comes wisdom by the awful grace of God. Spell that when you hear awful grace of God. That is the awe inspiring, just being struck by the grace of God. I'll repeat the words again. He who learns must suffer. And even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart. And in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom to us by the awful grace of God. That God is our Almighty God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's take the pop quiz again and again and again this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. Thanks for these words that though they were few in the pen of Paul, they call us to account, to know to whom we speak. I pray, Father, that we would know. And I would say, Lord, please give me the pop quiz over and over and over again. May I be aware that you're calling me to answer. To whom are you speaking? On whom are you leaning? And I pray this for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you know us. You love us. You've given us a wonderful fellowship here. We've listened to each other. We've stood by each other, listening to you together. And I pray, Lord, you'd keep teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.